Thanks to Daniel and the team for leading us in worship this evening. Thanks for everyone serving behind the scenes. So just a little bit of introduction for those who don't know me. My name is Quinton. I'm one of the elders here at Central, and I also have the joy of serving at a ministry called Bethesda Outreach Ministries. It's an orphan care ministry in Hammanskraal. Our vision at Bethesda is to see the church and its members care for orphan and vulnerable children, that they may become disciples of Christ. And it's a great ministry that Central is partnering with, and I have the joy of serving there. But this evening, as I open God's word for you, this evening we're going to look at a few verses of prayer, a few verses on prayer, and we're going to continue the topic from last week, pray and go. That's the topic from last week. So, like last week, this will be a shorter message. I'm going to try and keep it short. A shorter message, and then we're going to spend some time around the table, Lord's table, and then we're going to spend some time in extra prayer, focused prayer. But the verses that we will focus on this evening is directly after the well-known passage on the armor of God. But I'm not going to go through all the different, you know, armor of God. But you can open your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Please go read the rest of the passage, but I'm just going to read verse 17 to 20, but we're going to look at verse 18 to 20. Reading from verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's just pray. Father, we come to you this evening in total dependence on you to open up your word to us, to help us to apply it to our lives. God, thank you that we can come to you even as we sung tonight. We are so dependent on you. We are needy as your people. And God, even as we come to the Lord's table tonight, we are reminded again that we even need reminders to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. So God, we pray as we look at your word that you would lead us, that you would be with me as the preacher, but also be with those who are hearing your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, if you thought that the Christian life was going to be a walk in the park, you have been deceived. Often, we think of the Christian life as one of sitting on the beach, sipping a nice drink, you know, mocktail or a cocktail, whatever you drink. But we think of it as one, you know, just sitting on the beach and relaxing, when it's more like in the movie Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you've seen that movie, where they storm the beach of Normandy. And really, you just see these soldiers ready for battle, and they go out, and it's this crazy battle, and guys just dying all around, bullets flying. Go watch that scene. It's more of a battle. It's not a sitting on the beach. It is warfare. And if you don't believe me that the Christian life is warfare, then try to pray. Try to pray. Try to pray intentionally. Try to pray consistently. Pray, and you will see that we are more like soldiers in active battle, in spiritual battle, than those sitting on the beach. So the question, of course, is who's the enemy? Who's the enemy that we're battling in? Well, one of the enemies not mentioned in this passage is the flesh. One of the enemies is our flesh with its desires. There was this video that I watched a long time ago. If you watch the video, you'll be like, oh, it's nothing like Quinton explained. Okay, but this is how I remember it. It's of this guy who's in battle, almost like Call of Duty. And this guy is going out and he's looking for the enemy that wants to kill him. And he's pursuing this enemy. And eventually when he finds this enemy, he pins him down, he holds the gun to him, and then he takes off his mask and he sees it's himself. You know, often we are our greatest enemy in this battle. Our flesh with our desires are our greatest enemy. Our minds are distracted, and like the disciples, we fall asleep and we struggle to be alert and to watch and pray in times of temptation. We're also, of course, in a battle with this world. So it's not just the flesh, but we're in a battle with this world, and we are daily bombarded with the world's views and ideologies. We are also, as this passage in verse 12 says, we are in a battle with Satan and his minions, okay? And this battle is real. And if you look at this passage, you can go read the passage, but there's a battle going on in the unseen world. And it is a spiritual battle. Therefore, we need supernatural help to be in this spiritual battle. That is why Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them to put on the armor of God. We must put on the armor of God to be able to resist the enemies, to be able to stand our ground, and to be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. If you look at verse 10. And we are fighting each day. Now you say, well, what are we fighting? What's this fight about? Now if you go read the armor of God, it's really about fighting to believe the promises of God. It's really fighting to believe who you are in Christ and then standing in who you are in Christ. It is standing in the promises of God. That's what the armor of God is about. God's promises to you in Christ. So stand, believing the promises of God, and then, of course, we must pray. You see, prayer is of utmost importance in this battle. Now, some have likened, one commentator likened prayer to the air that the soldier must breathe in the battle. So there's the armor of God, all the different parts of the armor that he must put on. But prayer is like the air that he must breathe as he is in this battle. He can't survive without it. It is the environment that he lives in. That's what prayer is like to us in this battle. Now, as I looked at this passage, it was very encouraging. Something that stood out to me was one commentator said that he highlighted that prayer is at the end. Now, right through this book of Ephesians, Paul highlights a couple of things that he prays for them. But right here at the end, he speaks about prayer. And it's almost like it's a side note. But it's not really a side note. Paul highlights prayer at the end of this letter as a reminder to them that, yes, he's explained about their new position that they've got. They've got this new position. They have this new identity. They are children of God, and they have all these blessings, these spiritual blessings, and they have all these privileges. And they have so much as children of God. And before they think they don't need to pray, he reminds them of prayer at the end of the book. Because isn't that true? So often we think about who we are as Christians. You know, I'm a child of God, and I've got this, and this is my identity, and all of this. Why do I need God? Now, what Paul does is he says, even though this is who you are, and he's explained it in Ephesians, okay, he's explained clearly this new position, but then he says, before you think that you don't need God, you need to pray. Okay? Don't think for a second that because of who you are, you don't need to rely on God. Don't be like the disciples. You know, often we are like the disciples. You know, we know Jesus, we're in Christ, we're saved by grace through faith, and we're like, I mean, I've got it all. I know where I'm going. And the disciples, you know, they were with Jesus. So they thought they didn't need to pray. I mean, why pray when you've got the Son of God with you? You've got the miracle worker with you. Man, we are with Jesus. Why watch and pray? I mean, I'm with Jesus. And Jesus tells them to watch and pray lest they fall into temptation, not knowing what was going to come for most of them, what they were going to struggle through, because they were with Jesus. And even Jesus says to them, hey, you need to pray. And Jesus, again, setting them an example, even being the Son of God, praying, depending on God. Now, this evening, we're going to answer some questions, okay? We're going to answer some questions from the text on prayer that'll help us to pray and go. It'll help us as we pray and go. Now, the first question is, when and in what manner should we pray? When and in what manner should we pray? Look at the text. It says, praying at all times. And also later on, it says we are to pray by keeping alert with all perseverance. Now, when should we pray? Have you ever thought about that? When should you pray? Well, New Testament believers do not have a prescribed time that they need to pray. Yes, of course, what we need to do is we need to set time aside, intentional, undistracted time to spend with the Lord. Okay, so I'm not saying don't do that. But the Bible doesn't prescribe a set time that you need to pray. You know, like the Jews had a set time that they had to pray. There's no prescribed time for us to pray. But we can look at Jesus. We can look at his life. Jesus prayed early in the morning. Okay, it's a good example for us to go pray. It's undistracted. But it's not prescribed. Jesus, before he chose the disciples, before he made a big decision, he prayed the whole night. That's an example to us to wrestle with the Lord in prayer before big decisions, but it's not a prescribed time that we need to set aside. Jesus prayed before meals. It's good to pray before meals. You know what? It's okay if you don't pray before the meal, but if you thank God for every bite, it's also okay. Okay? No prescribed set time to pray. We pray at all times. One commentator says, there's no time when we do not need to pray, and no time when God will not hear our prayers. So don't say, well, oops, it's not my morning time of prayer, so God's not going to hear me during the rest of the day. No. There's no time where we do not need to pray, and there's no time where God will not hear our prayers. Now, when we get to spend time in the Word, when you read the Word and you spend time in the Word and the Spirit of God works through His Word, we have so much to talk to God about. If you spend time with Him, there's so much that you want to talk to God about, and we don't have to wait till Daddy gets home to chat to Him. You know, have you guys seen that video where the kids wait outside of the home and they can't wait for Dad to get home, and the truck pulls into the house? I don't know if you guys have seen that, but as Dad comes around the corner with the truck, the kids are standing there and they're waiting. They can't wait for Dad to come home, and as Dad comes into the driveway, they're like, Daddy, 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 and all the kids can't wait just to chat to Daddy. That's not the kind of relationship that we have with God. We don't have to wait till Daddy gets home so that we can chat with him. Our Daddy is available all the time. Now, what does it mean to pray at all times? And to pray at all times is when everything that you experience, everything that you struggle with, everything that you delight in, every person that you meet, all that you see, all that you smell, all that you hear, all that you taste is from a place of deep awareness of God. It's just being so aware of God in everything that you do, having this deep awareness of God. And of course, that leads to an even more, a greater awareness of God and a greater surrender to God and a deeper conversation with God. That's praying at all times. And Paul says, pray at all times. That awareness and that dependence on God, what does that do? It shows His worth. It shows His value. It shows that it glorifies God as you come to Him. And it shows His worth and His value as you come to Him and speak to Him in all things. Now, in what manner should we pray? Keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. Jesus told His disciples to watch and pray. Be alert. Now, this isn't just speaking about being physically awake, okay? It helps when you are physically awake when you pray. But what does it mean to be awake? It is to be aware of how the enemy may influence your heart and your mind. It's to be aware. is to be aware of how the enemy might influence your heart and your mind. It is to be aware of your own desires and how those desires go against what God wants. As you pray, be alert. Be alert at how your desires goes against what God desires. Remember how Jesus told Peter, James, and John, watch and pray. Be alert. And you know, Peter, James, and John, they had their agenda for Jesus. They had a clear plan for Jesus. They had a wonderful plan for Jesus' life. And it didn't include the cross. And Jesus told them to watch and pray. And they weren't being watchful. They had a plan for Jesus' life, but Jesus came, and Jesus came to submit his life, to his will, to the will of the Father. And Jesus came to follow the Father's agenda. So when you are called to be alert, you need to say, am I praying? I need to be careful that I'm not, that it's not my desires that I want to follow, but it's the Lord's will. To pray with all perseverance. Now, some people think because there's no set time that we need to pray, prescribed in the scriptures, that we don't have to persevere in prayer. But we need to be devoted in prayer. A well-known passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it speaks about those the early church being devoted to the apostles' teachings and the breaking of bread, and they were devoted to prayer. That's what the early church, the believers, did. And Paul urges believers to devote themselves to prayer. And again, Paul doesn't just say, be devoted to prayer, but then he's not devoted to prayer. Paul says, be devoted to prayer, but then also he tells Timothy, for example, that I prayed for you day and night. Doesn't mean that he didn't sleep, but the point is he was committed to prayer, to praying for young Timothy. To persevere in prayer is to be steadfast and persist in prayer. That's the first point. When and in what manner should we pray? Now, secondly, what kind of prayer should we pray? What kind of prayer should we pray? Well, there's all kinds of prayer. There's congregational prayer. There's elder-led prayer. There's different kinds of prayers. We there are times where we cry out to God and everyone hears us. Everyone hears us. Then there are times where we pray to God and it's silent and no one hears us. There are prayers when you sit down. There are prayers when you lie down. Okay, those prayers don't normally end well. They end up in sleep, but it's okay. It's like someone also said, it's better to fall asleep speaking to the shepherd than counting sheep. Okay? So it's okay. It's okay. If you want to go to bed and pray till you fall asleep, it's okay. Okay? I'm not saying that should be the pattern, but great. I mean, isn't it great that you fall asleep and the last thought that goes through your mind is God, who God is, his character, forgiveness, grace. Isn't that great? And you wake up in the morning, last thought was grace, forgiveness. Okay? So, there are many forms, many postures of prayer, but you can pray wherever you are and in whatever situation. We can pray in every place, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Now, we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. This prayer means we can make general requests to God. It's normally just general requests. Lord, we want to pray for the church. Or Lord, we want to pray for the country. It's more general. Lord, we pray for unity within the church. It's more general prayers. But then supplication is more specific. Okay? Supplication is petitions, it's more specific prayers. That's where you pray for people by their name. Lord, will you be with Tani Katanka as she struggles through cancer? Lord, will you be with so-and-so? More specific prayers. Lord, will you be with President Ramaphosa? Lord, save him. Lord, give him wisdom. Lord, it's more specific prayers. So, the question is, why do we ask for specific prayers? Why do we ask God specific things? And part of that is so that when God answers those specific prayers, we can give him the praise and we can give him the glory. Th- um, Then the third point here. What kind of prayer is effective? Okay, what kind of prayer is effective? We must pray in the Spirit, the text says, in the Spirit. Now, just in the previous verses, in verse 17, Paul writes to take up the sword of the Spirit, and then he says, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And then he says, we are to pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit is not some spiritual state of ecstasy that you reach. It's not another level of praying that you reach, you know, within the church. And it's not another level. It's not, some say it's not even speaking in tongues. Some people say praying in the Spirit is always speaking in tongues, those kind of things. But that's not what Paul is getting to. You see, this kind of praying, it's not that kind of state. But when you come to God in prayer, what is prayer? You see, prayer is bringing our will in line with God's will. You've heard that before. It's bringing your will in line with God's will and His Word. You see, our minds and our desires are brought in line with His mind and His desires. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray as the Spirit would pray. We start praying for the things that God wants and what He has revealed in His Word. It's not that difficult. And you know what God does? God answers prayers according to His will. Isn't it amazing? We start praying for the things that God the Spirit wants, that's revealed in His will, and God answers the things that's in His will. We take the Word of God in our mouths and we pray it to the Lord. We say His words back to Him. What did Jesus do when He was led into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4? When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, when the Holy Spirit led Him there, do you know what it says there? I mean, Jesus led by the Spirit. What did He do? He kept saying, it is written, it says. That's what Jesus did. Now, let me just get you to the notes. Another thing as well is that to think about, when you pray in the Spirit, you cannot contradict the Word of God, okay? So when someone says something that's contrary to the Word of God, they're not praying in the Spirit. It can't go together. Okay, and you remember what happened in Corinth, where some people were even cursing Jesus Christ and they were thinking they were praying in the Spirit. They were led by the Spirit. And Paul saying, no, how can you curse Jesus Christ, but you say you're led by the Spirit? So when you pray something, when people pray something that's contrary to the Word, it's not praying in the Spirit. So we study the Word of God so that we can pray in the Spirit. Okay, fourthly, who do we pray for? Who do we pray for? Well, of course, we pray for unbelievers. We pray for our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We pray for our enemies. It's so different. It's so countercultural to even think, to care for, to pray to God for your enemies. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ, as He hung on the cross, prayed for His enemies. Now, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verses 1 to 6, we also pray for those in authority. Okay, and tonight we're going to spend some time, we're going to pray for those in authority. But let me read the passage. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. This has now been witnessed to at the end, at the proper time. Now I want to ask you this. We are called to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for their salvation. But do you actually believe that God can save them? How often do we just throw out these names and say, Lord, will you just be with that? Lord, will you save that guy? Lord, will you send someone with the gospel? But do we really believe that God is able to do it? Do we believe it? Do you even believe that God is able to save those in authority? Well, I believe it. I believe that God is able to do it. At our Bethesda men's meeting, at our Bible study in this week, and everything that was happening with Charlie Kirk, and I'm not going to have a whole sermon on that, but with everything that was happening with Charlie Kirk, I was saying to the guys, do you understand how, firstly, he was a guy who loved the Lord, who had a very clear understanding of the gospel, very clear on what grace meant, very clear on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, very clear on the Christian life and how it should be lived out. And this guy was a Christian in politics. But do you realize that he had access to guys like Donald Trump? Do you realize that the gospel had a way in to a guy like Donald Trump? Now, God doesn't need a Charlie Kirk, okay? God can use a cleaner in the White House, okay, to get the gospel to Donald Trump. But just people are praying, Lord, save those in authority. And God raises up people. God has the ability to raise people up to bring the gospel to them. Do you believe that? Charlie Kirk has access to Donald Trump. Donald Trump had meetings with Putin. Okay, Putin has meetings with Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un. All I just want to say is, and we believe the gospel is powerful. We believe that if this one shares the gospel with that one, God can powerfully save that person. God can powerfully save that person. Do you believe that? Okay, so we pray for God to send people out and pray and save them through the power of the gospel. Do you think the beautiful gospel feet can reach those people? We pray for unbelievers for their salvation, but most of all, we pray, our supplication is for the saints. We pray for believers, we pray for Christians. The brotherhood, saints, those who are in the same spiritual battle as you are. You know that battle that you had this week when you struggled to pray? You know that battle that you had with temptation? Guess what? Every single other brother or sister in Christ had that same battle as you had. You need to be praying for them. It's a battle. It's a battle that they are in. You understand the battle. Pray for them. Now, what do we pray for them? Well, we pray for one of the things I've mentioned, but we pray that they would see the promises of God that is true for them. Pray that they would, do a study. You can do a study on all the things that Paul prayed for the saints, okay? Great study to do. But one of the things is you can pray that they would see and know the promises of God that is true to them, true for them. What about pray that they would know their identity? Pray that they would know the deep, deep love that God has for them, that nothing will be able to separate them from the love of God. Pray that they would grow in their love for one another. Pray for their obedience. Pray for their growth. And then what Paul mentions here, what he asks them to pray for him, is pray for gospel boldness. That's what we are to pray for them. Our greatest need and problems are spiritual, okay? Therefore, we focus on spiritual things that we pray for. Now, of course, we pray for other things. We pray for their physical well-being. But it's a spiritual battle going on. Now, I just want to say, I was so encouraged when we prayed last week. When we sat in the group, some people were praying for me and my family. And I could go home and I could share with my daughter, say, do you know that people in the church are praying for you? You know what encouragement it is to them? To know that other saints are praying for them. What an encouragement. Paul asked them to pray for him. Pray and go. Those two go together. Praying and going. We've heard it last week through Isaac's message. Paul says, making supplication with all the saints and also for me. So he's saying, pray for me that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. You see, to go, you're going to need some help. We're going to need some help. You can't do it on your own. We'll need some help. Now think about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest evangelists, said, can you pray for me? I need help. Okay? I need help that I don't fear people. Okay, so when you need help, when you feel like you're fearing people and you don't have boldness to proclaim the gospel, you're in good company. Okay, it's okay. Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me that I would make the gospel plain and without fearing people. And when I get to stand in front of the imperial authorities or even be in front of the emperor himself, that I would represent Christ well as an ambassador. You need help, I need help, but don't just say, God, I need your help, pray for help, and then don't use words, okay? You're going to need help. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you boldness. He's going to help you, but you're going to have to use words. Paul says that I may open my mouth, okay? Open my mouth that I may proclaim, declare, speak. You're going to have to use your mouth, okay? Another point before we move on. Do you notice that Paul does not pray to be delivered from prison? I mean, he could have prayed for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the gospel advancement, was the most important to him. Making the most of every opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And I think that's where we should be. It's like, Lord, I don't care where you place me. I don't know where you want me, God. But the most important thing for me here, while I'm at varsity, while I'm at this place, in work or whatever, most important thing for me here is gospel advancement. It's the most important thing. So, the Christian life is a war. It is a battle. You're going to need prayer. It's clearly evident, this battle is clearly evident in our struggle to do something that we need most, and that is prayer. Because we need God in all things. In our prayer, like I've mentioned before, you know, we are more like Peter, James, and John. We are more like those who fall asleep when we should be watching and praying, lest we fall into temptation. We are more like them than prayer warriors, to be honest. Now, here's the good news. Aren't you glad that God does not say to you, you are accepted based on your prayer life this week? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're not accepted based on how you prayed this week or your commitment to prayer? But you are accepted by grace through faith in Christ alone. And when you trusted Jesus Christ, God is saying to you, come with that same trust every single day, that same dependence. Come every single day, depend on me, trust me. You're going to need me even after your salvation. That initial cry for salvation becomes the anthem of our lives. Help me, help me, help me. What a joy to have communion and fellowship with God, to pray to Him. We get to sit on our Father's laps and speak to Him. It's not a burden for us. It's a joy to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray that even as we're going to spend some time in prayer and as we spend some time around the table, God, we pray that you would search our hearts. And even now that as we looked at this passage, that one of the things that I would love us to focus on is just that self-reliance, how we so often just rely on ourselves. God, we know the gospel. We know what Jesus did for us. But so often we want to run back to and put our confidence in the flesh. And even daily we try to do everything on our own. We think we've got this. We are like those little children who are so powerless, but who tell their parents, I've got this. I can do this on my own, when they don't even have any ability to do that thing. So God, we are reminded that we need you. So God, even as we come to the table, thank you for this reminder. And we pray that you would lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.